Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Happy Valentine's Day to everyone, particularly my wife. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, joined today by Betsy Woodruff in for Jim Garrity. There was actually a snow day for the Three Martini Lunch yesterday, Betsy, and that is a rarity, but we are back in action today. And as always, thanks so much for being with us.
Always fun to be on.
Let's start with the good martini, and we don't get a lot of good martinis from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, that's for sure. So here's the story out of the Ninth Circuit. A divided federal appeals court on Thursday struck down California's concealed weapons rules, saying they violate the Second Amendment right to bear arms. The 2-1 ruling of the three-judge panel said California counties were wrong to require law-abiding applicants to show good cause beyond self-defense to receive a concealed weapons permit. And Betsy, ever since the president made his big gun control push following Newtown, we've basically seen most Americans really saying that as horrific as these tragedies are, they don't blame law-abiding gun owners for them. And when states overreach, Colorado, for example, the voters kind of put them back into their place. There have been some liberal states which have gotten away with it. But overall, even the Ninth Circuit now is saying that, there is a Second Amendment and it actually means something.
Yeah, I think also the good cause language is extremely problematic. When legislators start saying that you need to meet that standard in order to practice a right that, you know, is in the Constitution, that everyone, you know, regardless of how wacky we may feel a certain circuit court of appeals is, that everyone recognizes exists, as soon as that language is the question, it's really hard to defend because good cause, it's hard to think of anything more subjective than that. And how do you prove good cause? When somebody breaks into your house, do you run to the gun store and say you have good cause for concealed carry? Like, it doesn't make sense. It's very odd.
Are you optimistic now that this means that there is momentum on the side of the Second Amendment, or is this just one case among many and you cheer this verdict but brace yourself for more?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably one case among many. I think it's whenever these things happen, it's easy to try to figure out if they're part of a sea change or something, and I would say it's definitely too early to say that. But like, it's sensible, it's good news, and it's always good when a poorly written bad legislation gets struck down by courts.
All right, on to the bad martini now, and this one actually broke a couple of days ago, but given the snow and some other pressing stories, it got put on the back burner for just a little bit. But one of the things we saw earlier this week, of course, was the Obama administration saying that there would be yet another delay in the employer mandate, specifically this time for firms that employ between 50 and 99 people. It does not apply to those who employ 100 or more, and there is no mandate for those who have less than 50 employees. But basically what they're saying now is that for these companies that employ 50 to 99 people, you cannot use Obamacare as a legitimate excuse for reducing your workforce to a level that makes it so that you don't have to comply with the employer mandate. And so they're going to make you be very truthful with the IRS. On the one hand, if you actually don't release people as a result of Obamacare, you could end up really getting hit in the pocketbook. But if you do that and assert that you haven't done it because of Obamacare, then you can't go out publicly explaining we're stuck in where we are with this business because of Obamacare. So they win either way.
It's totally bizarro. And I'll be floored if this doesn't eventually get litigated in court, because it basically makes the IRS the thought police. And businesses have to prove that they're pure of heart when they're laying people off or eliminating positions. And that's clearly either extraordinarily difficult to do, or it's a standard that will never be enforced, because, you know, how is the IRS going to investigate businesses to find out the motivations behind their business decisions? It's also really weird because it just makes you wonder how many people involved in putting together the enforcement of this legislation have owned businesses before or have ever worked for a profit-dependent company.
It's a good question. When you look at the people who put it together, you know, Henry Waxman, Max Baucus, and some of the people in the administration, they've been in government all their lives. So they've never really been in a position to understand how this impacts the private sector. So anyway,
yeah, for sure.
Congratulations to Max Baucus, by the way, for being confirmed as ambassador to China, a job he admitted in testimony he did not really qualify for. But, you know, whatever.
China. It's not that important.
That's right. That's just a, you know, whatever.
Good analysis. Whatever. I totally agree.
On to martini number three now. And of course, Betsy, you and I both work in the Washington, D.C. area, and it only takes really 3 or 4 flakes to get school canceled most times. So the forecast of anywhere from 5 to 10 inches, and a lot of places actually got more than that, it was a no-brainer that school would be canceled yesterday. it's canceled today. It'll probably be canceled a couple days next week, even though Monday's a holiday, just because this area doesn't really respond to it very well. Further north, they have slightly higher standards for closing school. New York City decided on Thursday not to cancel school. The kids went to school, and there was a lot of blowback aimed at New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio, including some on Twitter from Al Roker, of all people, who was very critical of the mayor's decision. The mayor decided to go out and defend this decision. Part of his explanation was that, you know, some of the forecasts said we might get as little as 3 or 4 inches. Others said we might get more. And then there was this about how he sees the role of schools and public education in terms of being a place to put kids while their parents work.
When you think about 1.1 million kids, so many families depend on their schools as a place for their kids to be during the day. A safe place, a place where they not only are taught, but they get nutrition and they are safe from the elements. So many families have to go to work. The members of these families have to go to work. They do not have a choice and they need a safe option for their kids.
So it's daycare. Is that what we're supposed to believe here?
That's definitely how he's pitching it. It's hard to read that as anything else.
So what does this tell you about de Blasio?
He clearly sees a very intimate role for the New York City government in what should be, you know, personal family decisions. And I imagine that's a bit irksome, especially to the parents who had to pick their kids up in the middle of the day because they decided not to keep them in school the entire time.
So at some point, are we just going to build bunk beds in the public schools in New York City? Because clearly, he trusts the schools better to feed the kids, to keep the kids safe from the elements. There's two biggies right there, so I'm not sure what he would admit that parents do better than the schools.
And one also wonders how many of these storied New York public schools he's toured. I mean, a lot of these are not exactly Eton, you know, the private school in the UK. But this extraordinarily high confidence level in the New York public school system seems a little bit misplaced.
Betsy, as always, good, bad, and crazy news. And as always, we appreciate you being with us to help dissect it. Have a great weekend.
For sure. You too.
Betsy Woodruff of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus at Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be back with us on Monday for the next edition of the 3 Martini Lunch.